Book of Psalm tonight, if you would. Book of Psalm, chapter number 68. I was told as a young Christian that as I got older, that I would enjoy the book of Psalms more and more as I aged. I have found that to be true. But what I did not recognize is that in those days, because of that remark, I kind of spaced off the book of Psalms. And though I read them, I did not allow them really to enter into my heart as they should. I have found young people today that allow this great book to just become a part of their lives. Anybody know what the book, what the word Psalms means? What does the word Psalms mean? Rachel, what does Psalms mean? I'm going to pick on you so you keep your attention up here. What's the book of... No, be nice to her. What's, you know what it means? Okay, is your brother going to tell you? What is it? Do you know?
I think I know what it is.
What is it?
Like, it's like Psalms of David, like something like that. It is like the truth of David.
All right, that's very good. The word psalm itself simply means it's a song. Okay? These are songs. They were sang. They were chanted. I'm trying to think, what do we even call the music today that's called chanting? Yes, he did play a harp. They didn't always sing with a musical instrument. By the way, it's an interesting study that the early church for years never had musical instruments. It's a rather late thing, from my understanding. But... yes, they had. He played a harp, and he wrote these psalms, these songs, and well, you look at them. A lot of them have been put to music. Well, it was the same music they had to begin with. Certainly, these are beautiful. Matter of fact, there have been people now who have taken, and I believe you can buy books that will have all 150 psalms in song form at this stage. I do not have one of those books. Are you familiar with that, John? I've seen that. Psalm chapter 68 tonight. I want to just look at really one verse tonight. It's found in verse number 19, the book of Psalm chapter 68 and verse number 19. Psalm 68 verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah." That's an interesting word, Selah. How many have ever heard that one before? Well, if you've been in the Bible, you have, but normally we walk down the street and hear anybody saying, Selah. I've heard the word silly referred to me. My sister used to call me that quite a bit. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. There's that word, Selah. Let's look at this for a few moments tonight, and let's first of all look at what it says. It says, blessed. That's an interesting word. Tony, what's blessed mean? What does blessed mean? Don't close your eyes on me. I'm going to pick on you tonight. Blessed, you know what it means? We're going to get to it. All right. Blessed. You know what blessed means?
Blessed means like to bless someone and like to be nice and something like that.
Well, you're close. Do you know?
To create good fortune.
All righty. I like to use the word happy. Okay. Yeah. To create good fortune. Make them happy. All right. Blessed is who? What's it look at? What's it say? Blessed is the
Lord.
The Lord. Happy is the Lord. Isn't that interesting? So here we find it telling us that God is happy. God is happy. Why is He happy? Well, we look at it and it says, blessed is the Lord, or happy is the Lord, if you please, who daily loadeth us with benefits. So God is happy by doing things for us. Loading us, it says here, with benefits. And it's on a daily basis that He does that. In other words, God never forsakes us. He's always there. He's always has this available to you and to me. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. We're going to look at some of the benefits tonight. But first, let's go along just a little bit farther. Even the God of our salvation, He is the originator of it, the God of our salvation. He is the one that brings salvation about. We're at the time of year we call Christmas. And Christmas is a time of year we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's hold our questions later if we can. I appreciate it. And Christmas is the time that we come and we think about the coming of our Savior. Sometimes it's called the first advent or the first coming of the Lord Jesus. And so He came to this world. How did He come to this world? He came as a human being. He came as a man in the form of a baby. This is God who spent eternity in the past as God, but now He makes Himself as a human or in human form. He comes in the form of a baby, one who is dependent upon others. That, by the way, is a tremendous position of humility. And so here He comes. He humbles Himself to come down to you and to me in the form of a baby. And as that baby comes into this world, He comes for one purpose, and that is to grow up and to die. That He might grow up and die. Now that's interesting. Why would He come to this world that He might just grow up and die? Well, the Bible teaches us that the wages of our sin is death. One of these days, you're going to die. Now, many of you in this room, you think, boy, that's just a long ways off. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything, even if it's a teenager. I've done many funerals as a pastor. Let me tell you, the saddest ones are not the little babies. It's those who are teenagers. They are very, very tough and difficult. And they're tough because so many teenagers end up showing up and many without hope. And many wonder, how can this happen to a friend of ours? But we've got to understand, death is no respecter of persons. It can come on any of us at any time. None of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. It's just that simple. Today I'm here, tomorrow I could be gone. That'd be true of you, that can be true of any of us in this room. And why do we die? Because we have sinned. The wages of sin is death. We deserve to die, to be separated from this body, and then to be separated from God for all of eternity. Because we've sinned against Him. And so Jesus came as a man. Now there's something different that He came though as a man. He came, He was the perfect man. So if He was a perfect man, He didn't have to die for His sins. But an interesting thing took place. Jesus did die, and what happened? Our sins was laid upon Him. God allowed Him to take our sins and die for them. Now that's tremendous. So Jesus came to this world as a little baby, grew up to be a man, never sinned any time in His entire life, and yet He went to the cross of Calvary, there died for your sins and died for mine. And if I will receive that He did for me, if I will receive that, it's mine. His death counts for mine. I do not have to be separated from God for eternity. My soul tonight is saved. When I was 19 years of age, I asked Jesus Christ to save my hell-deserving soul. I put my trust in Him for that. And He saved my soul. My body is not saved. It will one day die. But my soul will never spend a moment in hell. To be absent from the body, the Bible tells us, is to be present with the Lord. And so I have a tremendous hope that by the way, that's not a wish. When we say hope as a Christian, we're talking about a sure thing. It is something that's, it just gives us tremendous excitement within. We have that hope that we will be with Him. He's the God of our salvation. He originated it because you and I couldn't. And after He gets done saying all that, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, here comes your answer. Selah. Selah. What in the world does He mean by that? And for years and years, Bible scholars have wondered, what does this mean? And a general consensus is, that word Selah is simply there like a big exclamation point saying, think about this. This is important. And so whenever I see the word Selah, the three words come into my mind are, think on this. Think about it. Blessed, happy is the Lord. Who's doing what? Daily loading you and I with benefits. He loads us down with benefits. We know that the greatest of benefits from our benefactor is that we are going to spend an eternity with Him in glory. When you and I accept Christ, we have this tremendous benefit that we are going to be with Him in glory. But He's talking about daily. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. So what is the Lord talking about that He's going to give us daily benefits? Well, you know, as Christians in America, we think, oh, He's going to give me this. He's going to give me $10,000 today and $20,000 tomorrow. And He's going to give me a new car. And we just start thinking about all the kinds of stuff. And you can call those benefits, but do you know there's things far more important than that? I tell the story every now and then. From time to time, we go down to the river. There's a little park over here called the Narrows. And just watch the river flow. It's better than watching the grass grow. And so we sat there for a little while and watched that. And the airplanes come in, and birds are flitting around. And once in a while, you see a fish jump. And if you look across the river, you can sometimes see some turkey over there, and there might be a deer around, and just enjoying the peace that comes between airplanes. Having been at the Hansen home on some occasions in many years gone by, that you understand that one, don't you, very well, being in the flight path of those. And so we just sat there doing that. From time to time, boats go up and down that river. I remember one time, I looked out, and here comes this huge boat. I mean, this thing must have been a 25, 30-footer. Great big boat. I'm hearing this thing, you know, coming up the river. And pretty soon I see it come into view. And I'm seeing this huge boat, and I'm going, good night. And I look, and there's one guy on the boat. He's driving the boat. There's nobody with him. He goes way up river, and we're there long enough, and pretty soon he comes back down the river. I was talking to one of our guys at church about him one day, and he says, yeah, that's all he does. There's never anybody with him. My thought that night was, you know, it's not what you're doing, it's who you're doing it with. It isn't the boat you have. I was enjoying sitting on my $20, that was expensive, $20 chair, you know, camp chair, watching the river as opposed to him on his $400,000 boat. Why? Because I was with somebody that I care about and love. And there's a big, big difference. Do we need to pray? Okay. No, I'll take care of her. Now listen, we have many benefits that are far greater than the financial, far greater than the material, that we ought to be so, so thankful for. I want to share with you tonight three of those benefits that God gives to us. One of those, and I mentioned a while ago, and that is when you get saved and I get saved, we have the benefit of having the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you got your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Book of Ephesians chapter 1. And we notice a few verses here. In chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in whom, speaking of Christ, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now notice the time frame. He says, after you've heard the word, after you received the salvation, he says, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. He says, we have the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God. He said, what's so important about that? Well, how many had a can of beans tonight or a can of this or a can of that? Anybody have something out of a can tonight? Huh? What did you have?
A chicken noodle soup.
What did you have? Tomato soup. What is this, soup night tonight? You had something out of a can. You're thinking. Put tomatoes out of a can on a tostada. Okay. He's excited. All right. What do you have? You had carrots out of a can? Okay. You had something out of a can? You had canned fruit. Okay. I don't know if I had anything out of a can tonight or not. Try to remember what I had. Anyways, we can things or we buy them in cans. Why do they put it in a can? Do you know why? There's a reason we put it in a can. Do you know why? So what? So it won't go bad. So it won't spoil. So we can preserve it. Okay? We can preserve it. How many of you ever canned something? All right, some of you have. A few weeks ago, one of you girls, I don't remember who it was now, one of you girls brought me some preserves. They made some, I want to use the word jelly, but I think it was a different term, and jam, and put it in a jar, and that thing was sealed. And so I had that. But it was very delicious. I believe it was blackberry or raspberry. And I love that stuff. And it was just exciting to be able to, you know, to get that a little bit later. Why? Those things preserve it. The Holy Spirit of God is our preserver. He comes into our lives to keep us. One of the things He does is that He keeps us saved. If you get saved, what do you think could cause you to lose your salvation? Sin. Yeah. If you have professed to be saved tonight, how many would say, preacher, since I got saved, I have sinned? And if you've been saved and you don't have your hand up, you're sinning right now. You're lying. You have sinned. But the Holy Spirit of God is our preserver. He's the one that keeps us safe. And so you and I, we think about the daily benefits. I mean, every day we do something wrong and He keeps us saved. Along with that, the Holy Spirit of God does some other things in our lives. Did you know that He is our teacher? Some people say, well, preacher, you're the teacher. No. I give forth the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God who must reveal things into your heart and to mine. When He has come, He will show you things, is what teaches us in John 16:13. And He is our teacher. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit of God not only teaches us, but we find that He does some other things. We talked about it a moment ago. He comforts us. When we've had abuses, when we've had problems in our lives, and we've had troubles in our lives, He's the one that can bring us comfort. Guys, listen to me. I mentioned funerals a while ago. I've done literally hundreds of them. The most pathetic funerals to deal with are people who do not know Christ as their Savior. You try to show them that their need is Him. But they have no hope. They don't know where their loved one's at. They have no idea. And sometimes they try to falsify it all in their minds. A About 2 years ago, I was called to the hospital, and a person had just passed away. And the family wanted to see me, and so we gathered together. And we have a few moments of prayer. Some of the family knows the Lord, but many of them don't. After I got done praying, one of the young men, so disturbed by everything, you know what he said? He says to his brothers and his uncles, "Let's go to the bar." The only thing he could think of was to go and drink that he might try to drown his sorrow. But all that does is bring greater sorrow. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that can comfort us, the one that can carry us through. But not only does He comfort, He goes on the other side of that. He's the one that convicts us. So when you've done something wrong, He speaks to your heart. When I stand in the pulpit and I preach and I talk about sin, it's the Spirit of God that causes people, ooh. And He's the one that cuts that into our own hearts. And He brings that conviction or that convincing that we've done something wrong. But He does not do it to be mean. He does it to bring us back unto Himself. But He's our convictor as well. He's our teacher. And one of the great things that He does in our lives is He seeks to build fruit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. He is seeking to make those things in our life. That's the Spirit of God. And so when we find here that the Bible says He daily loadeth us with benefits, boy, one of the benefits is the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. Let me share with you a couple of others. Another one is prayer and Bible study is a means of communication. We often forget this, but it's very simple. If you want to communicate with God, you need to talk to Him. If you want Him to communicate with you, you need to read His Word. He's already said it all. We just need to read it. And we need to allow that to take place in our life on a daily basis, loading us down daily with benefits. Monday, I was reading. I came across a passage in the book of John. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, that is so neat. It is so simple and yet it is so neat. I'd read it literally hundreds of times and never had seen that before. And there it was. What was God doing? On that day, He gave me that one thing. Loadeth us down daily with benefits. God wants to do that. God wants to answer our prayers. But I'm going to tell you another one. It's not really what we think of as a benefit. We don't often think of this as something that's good in our lives. And it kind of goes with one of the questions we had a while ago. Why in the world do we have tsunamis? Why do we have earthquakes? Well, there's a reason. Really, I told you the answer. Because of our sin, this world's become like this. But listen, God takes those things and He does something with it. And God uses all of these different kinds of trials and troubles to mature us. God uses those to build in our lives. God uses that. There are certain things that you're experiencing right now that God is wanting to use that to build something in your life with it. How many love math? A few. How many absolutely loathe math? It's the scourge of the earth. Alrighty. Difference in individuals. Understand that. Now listen, please. We do math problems and they are difficult and they seem like, my goodness, why do I got to do this stuff? But it's through those that God is using to build logic in our minds. teaching us how to think. Geometry. So many young folks hate it. By the way, I loved it. But you have to be able to figure out, how can I go from point A to point B and tell how I got there? It's amazing that it is something that's difficult, but it teaches us something. How many have ever used a saw? Electric saw, hand saw, hacksaw, chainsaw. You've used a saw. Why did you use the saw? You was going to cut. Why did you want to cut something? You just wanted to make sawdust? All right, we wanted to make something, didn't we? Now listen, please. Hey, guys, discussion over. We make things out of it. What do? We saw it in order to get certain shapes. If you were that log that was getting sawed, would that be hurting you? Yeah. You see, that's what God is doing for you and I through those saw blades, if you please. Those things that seem to hurt us in life. Sometimes it's like sandpaper. And it's very rough and it seems to hurt and it draws blood in the skin. But yet, God uses those things to mold us into something beautiful. Yes, there's hard things in life. I have found that easy things don't teach me much. It's the difficult things in life that do. And so we go through trials, we go through problems. We have all sorts of things. And yes, even as a child, if we have to endure some abuse, it teaches us some things. Perhaps even greater compassion as we become a parent. Horrible as it may sound, but God can take those things and use them for our benefit. God wants to use trials. So He daily loaded us with the benefits. Do you have trials? Sure. A lot of you think, ma'am, yeah, my parents, they're my trial. They're trying to mold you. And by the way, be thankful when they don't give up. And they keep at it. Because they love you. And thank God that He daily loaded us with benefits and He doesn't give up. And so He keeps those trials coming. No wonder James said, count it all joy when you fall into divers. That means many temptations. Or trials. Count it joy. I'm about to get the cut with a chainsaw. By the way, I actually have. It's no fun. And thank the Lord it wasn't very much. But we need to understand God. By the way, I learned something from that. Don't get near it again. Be cautious. Be careful. But nonetheless, God wants to teach us from that. Daily, load of us with benefits. When we get saved, God is going to work in our lives for some things. My question tonight again is, do you know Him as your Savior? Do you have the Savior in your heart? The one who came at this time of year, we believe, that we might have everlasting life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank You that You love us. Thank You for listening ears tonight. I pray that You would work and bless in every heart and life. Help us to understand these things, apply them to our lives. We pray in Christ's name.